All right, Charlie, we got 2 hours and 12 minutes. All right. I'm up for the challenge if you are. I remember years ago we used to have Brother Terry Ellis. He's with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, and that man can preach. And it was not uncommon for him to preach, I'm serious, for an hour and a half. And he would sit there and he would preach, and you would look down and it would feel like 15 minutes, and you look down and an hour had passed. Just a tremendous preacher, but I'm not him. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, so I'll try and keep us, not brief, but I want to make sure that whatever God has for us that gets out, and whatever He doesn't, then I don't say it. My homiletics teacher, his name is Pastor Mike Johnson. He's up in Redding, California. He used to say, "Stand up, speak up, and then shut up." And so when you're done talking, sit down. And he said, nothing ruins a message more than somebody that just keeps on rambling. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, hope you found it, in verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray, dear Heavenly Father, as we come to the preaching of your word. Lord, nothing is more important than right now. Lord, there are a lot of things that can occupy our mind. There's a lot of things that we may be thinking of that we need to get done and do. But Lord, all of that is not as important as the message that you have. And I pray, Lord, that you would use me tonight. And Lord, as you've laid this on my heart, I pray that we would be attentive and listen, and then we'd do something about it. In your name, amen. Well, what a great missions conference that we had. It was just tremendous. I mentioned it a little bit on Wednesday night. And how God gave us just the right mix of missionaries. And I liked, as I said this morning, how we had some older people, not old, but older, that have been around a little bit more seasoned. They're not a novice. The thing that caught my eye on all of them was their willing attitude to serve. Well, they came in and they were ready to serve us. They weren't expecting us to serve them. They were expecting to try and help us. I don't know how many times one of them would say to me, "Is there anything I can do?" And they were looking for direction, wanted to do something. And it was just a great, great attitude. They're sitting there cleaning the meals, afterwards, and washing dishes and sweeping floors and doing whatever they can. And then you noticed about them is they had a passion for their field. They had a strong passion and a desire to serve God. When Brother Frost was up here and he was singing and playing on his guitar, and then he got to that part of the song, "I surrender all." And he just broke. And he just started crying as he sang that song, "I surrender all." Boy, I don't know, if you were here and that didn't grip you, something's wrong with you. And I was listening as I was sitting back over here, and I was watching it, and Janet, she just couldn't do it. She stopped singing, and he just pressed on through, "I surrender all." And I thought as he was singing that man knows what it means to surrender all. He knew what it meant. When he was saying that, he knew what it meant in his heart to get to the point where he had to surrender. Where God got him to that point where he says, okay, I give in. I'll do it. Brother Vong was talking about it as well, and how he felt the calling to go to Cambodia, and he tried to reason his way out of it. We were talking just the two of us. He's like, you know, I was already reaching Cambodians. He said, I'll be honest with you. He said, I didn't want to go. He said, I was trying to prepare to buy a house down in California. And he said, things were going well in the ministry that he was in. And everything was just great. But then he knew it's not where he was supposed to be. And so then he surrendered all. Gave it up. The job, the security, the comfort. They were talking about how down there the rats that they have and all that that's in Cambodia. And one of their boys, I think, ate a rat. Cooked, you know, they're sitting there and had it cooked. And he tried a rat once. And, you know, that's where they're going to. You know, that's the Cambodian life. And he was showing us all the different pictures, but they're just completely surrendered. And I know that God calls every single one of us to do something different. Some are called to go and some are called to stay. But we're all called to do something, as I said this morning. And they had that mentality of to surrender. And I was thinking about those missionaries, and I was thinking of Brother Frost, and I was thinking of Brother Inman. Boy, when Brother Inman got done preaching, we got in the car, and Marcus said, boy, I just really liked his preaching. He said, I just listened, and I just enjoyed what he had to say. And he was talking about how he loved to hear him talk. He was so excited when he got to have him in his Sunday school class. And every single one of them, with the Buchards and the desires that they have to do more, and the Leonards going to Fiji, and all these people that Brother Leonard gave up a job as a diesel mechanic. Now it's, traveling across and building support. And every single one of them, as I was talking with a preacher, and I said, boy, there was not a dead one in the group. And he said, no. He said, I would love to take every single one of them on. I said, I would too. And I was thinking about that, I thought of our missions. And I thought of our budget and how we've been and all of that. And we get a report that comes out pretty much every week of where we stand with our missions and all that. And I thought to myself, could we do more? Could we do a little bit more? We have some great missionaries that we support. You know, think of the Wanzers and the Ortezes and we can go down the list, the Jones and the Knights and the Collins down in Mexico and we the Hasmans that are over in Africa. They're doing some great jobs. We have some great missionaries that our church supports. Could we do a little bit more? What would it take for us to do a little bit more than what we did last year? To do a little bit more in our giving, in our faith promise. When we challenge God and say, God, I want to step out on faith. I want to prove you. You were so good to me last year. My wife and I, as I mentioned this morning, God took care of us in what we said we were going to give towards our missions last year. He supplied it every single month. So we wanted to increase our faith and put a little bit more and say, okay, God, let's see what you can do now. And He's faithful. He's going to do it. It's just on us to see if we'll step out in faith to challenge Him to do it. And so we said we want to increase our missions and give a little bit more. Why? Because we want to do more than what we did last year. We want to grow, as we talked about a little bit this morning. But sometimes what happens in our Christian life is we get a little stagnant. I was going to bring it this evening, but I spaced it out. But I've got a can of paint. And a while ago, we painted one of our bedrooms upstairs. And anybody that knows with paint, I talked a little bit about it Wednesday night, but it's all right because some of you are here, some of you weren't, so it's okay. Now I get to say it again. If you were here, well, now you know what's coming. But that paint has been sitting now because we're done painting that room. We had some left over. And because it's gotten stagnant, because it has sit, guess what it's starting to do? What's it doing? It's separating. Anybody that knows, when you get a can of paint and it's been sitting for a while, what do you got to do? You got to stir it up. You got to either take it to the store and have them do a little deal where they shake it up really good, or you got to manually get that old paint stick in there and start stirring it around to mix it back up, to get it moving again. Why? Because as it sits, it gets stagnant. And when it gets stagnant, it loses its ability to do its job properly. And you have to stir it back up again. As Paul says here, in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Here's Baptist Church. We need to stir it up. We need to stir things up. It's easy for us to get into a point where we're comfortable and we're going on and we have our routine and we have our set schedule and we are creatures of habit. And the longer that you live, and sure some of the ladies and some of the gentlemen that have been around for a while, such as my dad, would agree that the older that you get, the even more that you are a creature of habit. You wake up at the same time. There's been times my wife and I, we've gone on vacation without the kids. And we're sitting there and we go off to Missoula or something like that, just the two of us. And it was a couple of years ago that we did this. And we said to ourselves, we're sleeping in. But we were both up and dressed by what, not even by 7 something in the morning. We just, 8 o'clock or something. We finally was like, okay, we got to get up and do something because we're just laying. There's no more sleeping in. Why? Because we're so used to just getting up at a certain time, and our bodies is just so acclimated to it. We tried and we couldn't do it because we're creatures of habit. We have our set schedule. And it's difficult when we have to insert something into that and break that up. Sometimes someone says it takes, can we get air going or something? I don't want to lose everybody before they pass out because it's too hot in here. Thank you, Brother John. Before it gets all hot and people start doing the agreeing with me, but they're not agreeing with me. They're But you know, as you think about it, though, we are creatures of habit. I go to work at the same time. I get off at the same time. I come home. We do dinner. We bathe the kids. We put them to bed. We get up the next day, and we do it all over again. And the change is if it's Sunday, we go to church. If it's Wednesday, we go to church. And we sit there, and we repetitively do this cycle. And we do it over and over and over and over again, and we get used to what we're doing, and we get that rut. And because of that rut, we have a tendency to get a little stagnant. And we need to stir it up. We need to challenge ourselves to get out of the rut and do more for God. To stir things up. The challenge is, oh, that's exciting to hear that. The challenge is, Satan does not want a Christian to get stirred up to do something. He doesn't. We had a great missions conference. And he wants you to, okay, if you were there, to forget about it. To forget about the people that were there. To forget about what you heard. To forget about the message. That's why we get bombarded. The second that we'll leave church tonight, something will happen and you'll forget about what was talked about. Why? Because Satan doesn't want us to change. Even if we're attending church, if we're just stuck in that rut, just going on life's merry way, we're not really as effective as we could be for God. God wants us to do more. He wants us to challenge us to do more. And so what Satan does is Satan will use one major tactic to stop us from stirring up that gift that God has given us to serve God. That tactic is the word fear. We're afraid. We are afraid. It doesn't make much sense that the God up in heaven, who created this entire universe in six literal days. And it's so incredible. I was reading in that passage this morning in Colossians. It also goes on to talk about how God created the things that we can't even see. And verse Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." We were created by God for God. And God created this world and He created things that we can see. And God, because He wanted to, He created even things that we can't see. I was talking at Eagles Manor today about how, you know, there's places that are in the depths of the sea. Man has not been, and there are fish life that's in that area. We have no idea. Never seen it. But it's there because it's there to glorify God. It's there because God wanted to put it there. It was created by Him, for Him. And so are we. We are created by God, for God. And we're created to do something. But the devil will give us that little bit of fear to hold us back from truly meeting our maximum ability that God has for us. Fear. When you look at it, outside of the situation, it doesn't make much sense. We serve a God, a powerful God. You think that if we served God and we had our faith in God, God would give us the ability to overcome that fear. And He can. So why is it that we have this fear? Some of it is put on by ourselves. Some of it, the devil uses it to hinder us. But God has given us a challenge. If you listen to those missionaries, they all had the same thing in common. God called them to do something. They may have hesitated because they're afraid, but they gave that ability, or they gave that up. Brother Saravong, very meek and quiet individual. He got up here and everybody was laughing. He was telling jokes and whatnot, but that's not him naturally. He's a very quiet individual. In college, wasn't very flashy, just a quiet individual. But he's being used by God, and he had to give that fear to God, and God removed it and is using him. Fear stops us from reaching the potential that God has for us. So we're going to take just a couple minutes tonight. There's three things, three fears that we have. Number one is we have the fear of repentance. The fear of repentance. You might think, why start with a fear of repentance? Because as long as we have sin in our heart, we'll never get to that next level. I was talking this morning right after church about revival and seeing revival in our time. The Addisons and I were talking and that desire to see it. And we're talking about how revival can only happen when we get right with God. We, as members of Heritage Baptist Church, stop the revival process when we will not repent of our sin. I want to see it happen. Boy, I would love to see this place just packed out where we could do more. But it starts with us and the fear of our repentance. When I was 8 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I remember it clear as day. The challenge was, as I was told by some people when I was 4 years old, that I had already done that. But when I was 4 years old, we went to this church. It's a Trinity Wesleyan Church in Dover, Delaware. And it was a good church. It preached salvation. And they had these deals where they had day camps where you'd go down and they'd go in the neighborhood and bring the kids out. And then they'd talk to them and different things. And I've told this before, but when I was four, some of the kids, they went forward after going to that. And I thought, boy, I wonder what they're doing. So I kind of followed them. And as I stood there, somebody was talking to us. And they were talking to the other kids. And then they turned to me and they said, okay, congratulations, you're going to heaven. I said, I am? Great. I didn't do anything. There was no faith that I had put in God. There was no action on my part. They said, pray this, I prayed that. I had no idea what was going on. I just did what I was told. Because if I didn't, I'd get in trouble for disobedience. But I didn't understand. I didn't comprehend that salvation is by faith. And so as we went on, we're in Germany, and they're talking about how you need to get baptized. I thought, well, I haven't done that. So they took me and they dunked me in the water. Problem was, I'd never been saved. Then as I was going, and as an 8-year-old boy, I was sitting in junior church, and a man named Shel Smith, he was teaching, and at the end he gave the invitation, and I knew in my heart I was unsaved. I knew I'd never trusted Jesus as my Savior. And so I left that side. I was sitting on the right side all the way to the back, came forward, talked with him. He said, all right, let's go get it taken care of. My best friend James on the other side, he came forward too. We went to a side room. He showed us from the Bible how we can know for sure that we're on our way to heaven. And I made the conscious decision to put my faith and trust in Jesus in that moment. And I received Jesus as my Savior. I was excited. And then we got our orders, and in fifth grade, we moved here. And I was about 12 years old or so, and we're sitting at home over on 4th Avenue, and my dad was having family devotions. And he's just going through and talking through the book of Acts, and he's talking about the baptism and the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and how what hindereth me to be baptized. And I turned to him, and I said, after we're done, I said, Dad, I don't know if I've actually really been baptized. He said, well, tell me. And he said, well, when did you get saved? He said, you tell me. I said, when I was 8 years old. He said, did you when you were four? And then just get reassurance at 8. I said, no, I didn't do anything at 4. It was 8 years old that I did. And he said, so I never got baptized after I received Jesus as my Savior. And he said, well, then you've never been baptized. You just got wet. He said, you need to get that right. And I did, and there was a little bit of hesitancy and fear that came in, and when I did, it's amazing when I surrendered to that part of my life, how so many other things started to change. Later on that year, we went down to Castle Rock Baptist Camp, and I was sitting there with my friend Randy Ellis, and his dad Terry Ellis, as I mentioned him before, he was preaching at camp, and I could feel God just pulling me and saying, hey, I want you to surrender to preach. And I did. How does it start? Because it started with getting things right with God. If I would have never surrendered in the fact of getting baptized, I don't believe anything else would have happened that year. Because I held back from God. We have a fear when it comes to getting right with God. We fear what we will lose by doing it. What will I have to give up? What will I miss out on? I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to have this thing in our life and then, you know, we're going to go off and be drunks or whatever, but and that we're afraid of missing out on stuff like that. But there is a part of us that fears truly getting 100% right with God. We're afraid of this altar. We're afraid that if we come down here, other people will see us kneeling down at the altar and they'll start questioning. Oh, I wonder what they're doing. I wonder what sin they have to get rid of. And we allow that to stop us from selling out to God. That fear. So I wonder, what will my friends say? We were talking earlier about being truly right with God. And if we're really right with God 100%, then other people would see it, would see Christ more in us and would want it. But we hold back just a little bit. We give God some, but do we give God all? And we fear selling out. We fear getting right with God. What will it do? Maybe God will call me to a mission field and then I'll have to go and I'll miss out on this or that. And I don't know if I can do that. And that fear stops us. But it starts with getting right with God. If we're holding back sin, we won't get it right. Nothing else is going to happen. We will feel like God is not talking to me. We'll make every bit of excuses to get away from church where we feel convicted. Because we just want to be comforted. We know that sin has a little bit of pleasure. And we have to give that up. Well, my wife and I, when we got married, we started making decisions where we started giving things up and we started taking those steps and saying, okay, we don't need this anymore in our life. We're giving this up here. This right here, this is going to be a hindrance to us as we go on and serve God. So we're going to give that up. And every single time that we did then, it was a little bit of a struggle. But boy, were we so much happier afterwards. Brother Frost, I surrender all. A fear of repentance. We also have a fear of fully trusting God. Not only do we fear getting right with God, but we fear fully trusting God. I would say the one thing that shows that we have our full faith in Him is our tithing. We said, boy, you talk about tithing a lot. You talk about money a lot. God does too. So I'm not alone. And I'm not saying that because Heritage Baptist Church wants your money, because somehow, some way, God will make it so that this church continues on financially. And I'm amazed at how God does it too. God has used other people outside of our church to help our church continue financially when we need it. He makes a way. We'll end the year in the black by faith. And God, if God is in our church, then He's going to continue to support it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. I'm pretty sure that He can take care of Heritage Baptist Church. With our missions conference, He took care of our missions conference. Got a little interesting as far as what we wanted to do, and we had to be very cautious about what we spent and whatnot, because we wanted to be appropriate and not misuse God's money. But God took care of it. It got met. Am I right, Renee? Because God's going to do it. The thing is, when it comes to tithing, is it's a commandment from God. And second of all, not only that, but it is a direct thing from God that says if we don't do it, He curses us. When we do it, He blesses us. So why is it that we always talk about tithing? It's simple. Because we want to see your family be blessed by God. That's why. That's why I talk about it. I know how God has blessed my family, and it's not always financially, but God has blessed us and has shown us and has been there for us time and time and time again. And I truly believe it's because we are faithful in our tithes. This whole situation with Lily, and now we found out that she's going to need surgery, and they're going to wait until she's about a year before they do it. But we're talking about it. How fortunate that we are that everything got caught when it did. It could have been a whole lot worse. She could have had, it could have gone undetected. She could have had massive kidney damage. She could have had problems with that where they'd have to go in and operate and remove part of her kidneys. None of that happened. God was in His hand, had His hand in it, and just used everything just right and said, hey, I got this. And we felt it. God's in control of it. As a parent, of course, you're always concerned about your child, but we also have a peace and know that God is in control. And I truly believe that He is watching out because we are right in that area. Financially with God. We have a fear of fully trusting in Him. From our standpoint, it does not make much sense. It doesn't make sense to give up our money to the church. We could give a little bit here and there and, you know, throw a 20 in or a $5 bill. But it doesn't really make much sense to tithe from a worldly perspective. But God's ways are not man's ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He puts things in perspective and He says, okay, this is what I want you to do. And when you do it, it's amazing how He takes care of it. And God blesses when we fully trust Him. But when we don't, we have that fear. And we sit there and we think, two words. But what if? What if this happens? And I don't have the savings that I've got built up because it's a little bit depleted because of this step that I'm taking in giving to the church. I want to see new carpet in our church. But I'll be honest with you. This carpet, gray carpet, been around for 30 years, but I don't have 30-year carpet in my house. Why? Because people get it new. And it's getting time for us to get this in. But it's going to take giving members giving towards that and saying, hey, let's do something about this. It's going to take a little bit of faith. It's going to take a little bit of trusting in God. And we will always have that fear of what if? What if something happens? So here's the problem with that thought process. When we say what if, we are limiting the power of God in our life. Because we are saying, God, you are not great enough, you are not strong enough, you are not powerful enough to take care of this area in my life, so I have to do it. It's that fear of fully trusting God. Not just in our ties, but in other areas of our life. Do we fully trust Him? Or do we hold back just a little bit? We trust Him enough for salvation because nobody wants to die and go to hell. But do we trust Him past that? Past our salvation to our daily lives? Of God, you're going to take care of this situation. God, I know that this is coming up. I'm just going to give it over to you. Or there's the future. Nobody really knows the future is. And some would say it's probably a good thing because if God were to show us everything that were going to happen in our lives, it probably would scare us to death. We don't know what holds for us tomorrow. But we can rest assured that God does. And we can put our faith into Him because He's going to take care of us. Which leads to our last fear. Not just a fear of trusting God, but a fear of total, complete surrender. Have we really surrendered to God? For the Frost singing, I surrender all. He's the man that surrendered. Have we surrendered? Have we given up our will and said, God, not my will, but thine? God, what is it that you'd have me to do? Whatever it is, I'll do it. I pray for my boys, and now Lillian, that they would be totally surrendered to God. Completely surrendered. If that means working a job, supporting the church, and God calls them to stay, I want them to stay. If God calls them to a mission field, they better get going. Because they need to be surrendered to what God has in my life. Am I surrendered to God? To say, God, what would you have me to do? You want me to work a bus ministry? I surrender all. You want me to drive a bus? I surrender all. You want me to teach a Sunday school class and give it more than what I've been giving it? I surrender. Do you want me to surrender to full-time service? I surrender. God calls every single one of us to do something. The challenge is that we don't always surrender. And God tries and use, think of Jonah. God called Jonah to Nineveh to go and to preach and to proclaim what God's message was for that city. And what happened? He ran. Why? Not really surrendered. not really surrendered. Are we surrendered to God's will? Or are we holding on to our own? Because we're afraid of what it might be if we did surrender. If we did say, okay, God, I'm yours. Those are scary words. Because when we surrender, God says, all right, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to use you. That's what happens when we surrender. God can't use somebody who's not fully surrendered. Not fully. Not to the fullest of their ability. You can work, you can do things, but when you surrender all, God says, all right, now I get to work. Maybe it's to a bus ministry. Maybe it's to a Sunday school class. Maybe it's outdoor knocking, inviting people to church. Are you surrendered? Or are you afraid that you might get seen as a weirdo out knocking on doors? Have that fear. Are we surrendered? Well, maybe God's calling you to get into the ministry. I don't know. That's not for me to determine who is and who doesn't. That's God. As we talked about this morning in Sunday school. God says, hey, I'm the one that does that. That's my responsibility. Our responsibility is to surrender all. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of the sound mind. What fear is holding you back from stirring up that gift that God has given you? From being used even more than what you previously have. It's time for us to stir it up. It's time for us to set aside those fears and get back to serving God with our whole heart. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would be with us tonight. Lord, I pray that our church would overcome these fears. The fear of repentance, the fear of trusting in you, the fear of surrender. Lord, I pray that we would step out in faith and say, God, I am trusting in you. I need to conquer this fear that I have. I'm going to surrender all. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Nancy, would you play I Surrender All? I surrender all. Are we surrendered as a church? Have we given it all to God? Or are we holding back? Let's all stand to our feet. The altar's open. If God's working on your heart, don't wait. Don't delay. Don't wait for the piano to start. Just move. Let God work in your heart. Let God move. Because if He's not doing it, if we're just doing it for show, if we're just doing it because we're supposed to, it doesn't have that impact. But when we let God move in our heart, we let God go and do what He wants, that's when something great happens. That's when God can step in and say, okay, you're surrendered. I can see your heart is broken. Now I can do something great. What fear is stopping you? Can we stir it up? Can we stir up that gift that God has given us? Every single one of us has received a gift from God to do something. He's no respecter of persons. He gives everybody something to do. Some type of gift, some type of ability, some talent that we can put forth and say, God, I'm giving you this. Use it how you want. It's time to stir that gift up. It's time to get that stirred up and say, okay, we're no longer are we in that rut. No longer are we going on how we've been. We're getting stirred up to do something more. We want to increase our faith. Or are we just where we're at? Are we okay with staying with the status quo? Do we have a desire to do more? I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Are we surrendered? Or are we holding back? Afraid of what might happen. Afraid of the things we might miss out on. Afraid of all of these different things that we could put in and we can fill it whatever we want. And we can convince ourselves very easily of why we shouldn't do what we're supposed to do. But all of that is meaningless to God. It's just simple excuses. I surrender all. Use me, Lord. I'm Yours. I'm that vessel. Page 153. Let's all take our psalm books. We're going to sing all four verses. I surrender all. Page 153. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let
let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
I pray that it's more than just words, but we actually do it. It's great to sing it, and it's great to be stirred up. But if all we do is get stirred up, we think of that paint can. We can stir it up. But until we use it, we're just going to have to stir it up again. Because it's going to get stagnant again. When you get stirred up, it's time to put some action to it and do whatever it is you got stirred up to do. I pray that we're surrendered all. Let's pray, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, as we close out this service, Lord, I know in my heart, I've been challenged tonight, Lord, to do more for You. To surrender more, to do more, to increase, Lord, my faith. Lord, I pray that You'd be with us as we go our separate ways. Pray that You would just encourage us. Help us as we leave not to get distracted by decisions that were made tonight. Help us to seal them on our hearts and then to act upon them. We thank You, Lord, for all that You do. In Your name, amen. God bless you.